Welcome to the Authors Line, interviews and insights with featured authors and writers.
Mike Malevsky here at Radio Free Palmer in Palmer, Alaska. My great pleasure to be speaking with Kelsey Miller. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from New York City.
Okay, I will ask quickly then, what's the weather like today there?
It's a beautiful fall day, very crisp and clear skied. It's sort of a perfect New York fall day.
Okay, and we are sharing in that we are having an unusually perfect late for this time of year fall day as well. But well, let's get on with the book discussion that we have here. I'll Be There For You, the one about friends. And I've realized that although I was not a person who watched either originally when it was first on or a lot of episodes afterward in rerun, I am very familiar with. Somehow Friends have seeped into my life as well. And in your introduction, I notice that you discuss being 10 years old when this whole series began, and that actually it seemed like you came to Friends later in life.
Yeah, I mean, I did watch the show when it first aired when I was a kid, but, you know, I was a kid.
Right.
I was 10 when it aired, and I was in college when it went off the air, and I watched some of those years and some I didn't, but, you know, for better or worse, it was probably the biggest cultural event of my formative years. And then, yeah, when I was in my late 20s, you know, I developed this funny little habit where I would go to the gym every day and watch Friends reruns, not really thinking much of it. But then, you know, I slowly came to realize after a few years went by and I was still doing this, that Friends really meant something to me that I hadn't quite realized. You know, it is a show about, as the creators say, the time in your life when your friends are your family, which is sort of the period when, you know, you're no longer living at home with your parents, but you're probably not married, and you're just sort of finding your way in the world and figuring out your job and where to live and all of that, and you're sort of in limbo, and the people who are there for you the most are your friends. They're sort of the most important people in your life. And at the time, I realized I was sort of leaving that period of my own life, and I think, you know, I was going through the phase where my friends were getting married and I was going to get married and all these things were changing. And I think that watching Friends at the gym every day, as silly as it sounds, was really kind of a way to revisit, not necessarily even the show, but to revisit and remember that time in my own life.
Now, a number of people have suggested, and you even addressed that question of the somewhat idealized nature of Friends, and yet it was eminently relatable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing about it. It's, as one of the interview subjects in the book described it, it's aspirational normalcy. I thought that was just such a perfect way to encapsulate the Friends vibe, because it is. It's there is, of course, an aspirational quality to it, a sort of unrealistic quality to it, you know, the apartments, the sort of aesthetic qualities, the lifestyle that they're living, the fact that, like, you know, money is never an issue, even when you don't have it, that kind of thing. But the normal part, the most, you know, is the heart of the show, and it's at its core, it's a show about friendship, which is something that is universally relatable and timeless. So I think that's what really, really draws people to it.
And I'm curious. The book has just appeared, and we are seemingly in a somewhat different time where friendship is still important, but there are other forces at work that are maybe disturbing society. How would you see this message of Friends or, in fact, its impact on people today?
I mean, one of the things that, you know, I think is interesting and noteworthy about the show is that it does sort of cross so many demographics. You know, as you point out, I think we are divided in so many ways now, and there are so few sort of cultural touch points that we share. And I think Friends is one of those, one of them. Friends may be one of the last, you know, things that we all share, or the majority of us do share.
Okay. I have two questions that go in different directions, but the first one, now that you mentioned it, Friends being one of the last touchstones, are there any other touchstones of a similar nature that you have uncovered while you were writing this book, or come from your own experience?
I don't think that there really are on television. There are definitely sort of these like niche things that, you know, certain groups of people are big fans of, you know, like the certain television shows or certain film series and things like that. But Friends was one of those things that was so, had such a massive audience. I don't think that there's been another one of those sort of cultural touchstones, at least not on television, not since that.
Okay.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Now, Friends talks to the fact that there wasn't just one single character focused on. There were a group of people. But as you view that group of people, was there any one of those friends that spoke to you more than others? As a character or whatever?
Yeah. It's really funny. Everybody loves to ask each other, you know, which friend are you? Kind of thing. I never had a good answer for it. And then recently I was talking to a friend of mine and talking about the fact that I never, like, cried at movies. And she said, "Oh, my God, you're a Chandler." So I've slowly come to realize, I've come to accept myself as a Chandler.
Okay, and with that realization, what do you do with that realization then? Do you?
Oh yeah, I don't know. Put it on my resume? No, I'm not. I don't think there's nothing to do with that information. I just think it's sort of funny to think about, you know, because I never really had a good answer to that question.
So as you wrote this book, and you went through two processes. One, the process you described earlier of watching many reruns, and then you went through the process of writing the book. How would you say that you feel differently now that you've gone through those two processes? If you can go back in time to think about the first time you stepped on that treadmill and you started looking at Friends seriously.
How can I say that again?
How do you think you have changed after you have gone through the reruns and then also written the book?
Well, I think I definitely have a richer understanding of the show, and I probably look at it in a different way now because I have so much sort of knowledge crammed into my brain about the behind-the-scenes stories and the way it all came together and how individual episodes came together and why this character is like that and stuff like that. So it's funny, people asked me if it ruined the show for me writing the book, and it's funny because I thought, it's work now. But I was like in a waiting room the other day and it was on a television somewhere, and I just automatically turned towards the show and started watching it in that same old way. So I think you know, for better or worse, Friends is a show that me and a lot of people turn to for sort of a mental relaxation. There's a part of my brain that just sort of switches in that direction whenever it's on.
Okay. Do you, now that the book is done, talk to your friends about Friends?
I do. And it's interesting because I have, you know, I think the majority of my friends probably wouldn't describe themselves as diehard Friends fans. I think that some of them have watched it or watched part of it. I have some friends who didn't grow up in the United States, and so they have Friends aired pretty much everywhere, and they were aware of it. But for them, they have a different relationship to it. So I do. I like hearing about other people's relationships to the show, because some people watched it with their families as children. Some people now watch it with their own kids as adults. And I'm really fascinated by hearing other people's stories, because, again, it's one of those shows where even if you did not watch it, you definitely have a relationship to it because it had that big an impact on us, like, you know, as a people.
Right, right. Mike Malevsky here with Radio Free Palmer, and I've been talking with Kelsey Miller, who's written the book about Friends. I'll Be There for You, the one about Friends. Any last comments before we finish up?
No, I want to emphasize again that if you are a fan of the book, if you are a fan of the show, I think you will enjoy this. But I also think that this is definitely a book for people who are just fascinated by the way culture shapes and reflects our lives. And I also think that even if you hate the show or if you've never seen it, you're going to get something out of it. Honestly, I wrote it for all of them, for all of those people.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in today. Have a good day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Author's Line on Big Cabbage Radio, broadcasting from Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.